Matthew chapter 28. This morning we're going to talk about the optional commission. Matthew 28 and 18. You ever heard of the optional commission? Well, maybe we should rename it. Let's name it the pretty good commission. What is it? It's called the Great Commission. Right? Why is it called the Great Commission? Because it is our biggest job. It is the thing we should be the most excited about. It is the thing we should be fired up about every day that we live, looking for someone to share Jesus Christ with. That's why we call it the Great Commission. Let's stand and let's read the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. We're going to continue our study on discipleship today. Verse 18 says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age." Amen and amen. Brother Joe Hogg, would you lead our hearts in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. In our study of discipleship so far, it's been all about being a disciple of Christ. Okay? It's been about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today I want to just remind you that the most important thing in your life, this is point number one, by the way, if you're keeping up with points. Okay? Point number one in the introduction, that is. The most important thing in your life is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? There's nothing more important, not your job, not your wife, not your kids, not anything else that you can think of, than Jesus Christ and your personal relationship with Him. Okay? You wonder why we push Sunday school attendance and prayer meetings and Bible study. I want to tell you today, it's not about numbers. Okay? It's not about numbers. You can have 90,000 people gathered for a football game, but that has nothing to do with spiritual things. Amen? Okay? And it's not about the numbers when we push those things. It's about encouraging you in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is so important, so vital in your life, is because we are given a supernatural commandment in the Great Commission. Okay? That is a supernatural commandment, to go and teach and make disciples of all nations. And therefore, if we're going to do supernatural work, we're going to have to be supernaturally empowered. Amen? Okay? You and I don't have the ability to go to all the world. Right? And so, that's why I say that your personal relationship with Jesus is so important. Because if you're going to make a difference, it's not what you're going to do, it's what Jesus is going to do through you. Okay? That's why I say it's been all about our personal relationship, and I want to just remind you of one other thing before we get started in this morning's challenge. You see the rocks, the pile of rocks up front. You remember what that represents? That represents the day that you made a renewed commitment to Jesus Christ, a commitment that said, "Business as usual is not good enough." A commitment that says, "My life is going to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ and serving Him." You made that commitment. We all made that commitment. Now today, we're in that position where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, with the Great Commission. Today, we start making a difference. And we start with the word "go." I can tell y'all are hanging on the edge with that word. Complicated word. Go. You know what that word means? It actually, this is not a commandment. The word go is not the commandment. The commandment comes a little later, okay? But that word go, want to impress you? That word go is a participle in the aorist tense in the passive voice. Now you know what it means, right? I'm not sure I know what all that means either, so you know. But listen, this word go is not telling everyone here to hit the road. Everyone here is not going to the Congo. Everyone here is not going to Africa. Everybody here is not going to the other side of the world. Okay? And I'm glad because I kind of like having you around. It's just a lot more fun to have people to preach to on Sundays. Beth won't take it very long, you know. I might preach a time or two, but, you know, that's enough. What does it say? This word go is interesting in that what it's talking about is as you live. Okay? It's talking about being alive, living. Okay? Most people want a 12-step process of getting organized and how to be a witness for Christ. Here is the 12-step process rolled up in one word. Live. Let's add another word. Live looking. You're alive. You're surrounded by people. You're going to have opportunity every day. The question is, are you looking? Are you looking for the opportunity? Do you realize that if you live to be 80 years old, and there are probably some here today that have already surpassed that, but let's just, using a figure, let's say you're going to live to be the age of 80 years old. That will give you 29,200 days to do, to spend as you see fit. 29,200 days sounds like a lot. Until you turn 30. At the age of 30, you've used 10,950 of those days. You've got 18,250 of those days left. That still sounds like a lot. Well, I'm on the edge of 50 years old, and I have used 18,250 of my days. Now, if I live to be 80 years old, that leaves me with 10,950 days. I started with 29,000, I'm down to 10. This thing's going quick. Do you realize every day that you live is a gift from God? And the reason that God has given you that gift is to make a difference in the life of somebody else. It's to make disciples. And every day that you get up, you're going to have to decide how you're going to use those days. Because once you spend that day, you cannot ever, ever get it back. So why not use it? Carrying out what we know as the Great Commission. That's why Christ has put you here. A lot of people, I've heard him make the comment, well, I don't know why I'm still around, but God has some purpose for me. Ooh, I know what your purpose is. It's to be a Great Commission Christian. It's to live for the honor and the glory of God. It's to make a difference in the lives of other people, because one of these days, I said you had 29,200 days, right? And one of these days, you're going to come to that 19,000 or 28,199 days. The day before you die. Well, you have one day left. And you're going to have to. And then that day's going to pass and you're going to leave this life, because it's appointed unto man once to die. And when this life is over, everybody's going to gather to mourn the passing or pay their last respects, as they put it. I ask you this question. How many people will be there at your funeral? You ever think about your funeral? I'm going to ask you to do that today. How many people will be at your funeral who say, that man made a difference in my life for the sake of Jesus Christ. Or that woman made a difference in my life for the sake of Jesus Christ. See, that's what it's about. It's about taking as many people to heaven with you as you possibly can, child of God. How are you doing so far? Who's following you? Who is a child of God because of you? Every day is a gift. You decide how you'll use that gift by making disciples. I mean, it's simple. The reason you're here is simple. It is to make disciples. We're here to make a difference. And do you know what this says in verse 19? It says, go therefore and make disciples. That make disciples, it literally in the Greek reads, you make disciples. You see, we've got to take ownership of the Great Commission. It's your commission. It's my commission. I can put my name in here with go therefore, and Doug needs to make disciples. It's my commandment. That's literally what it means. You see, we've got to make it personal. You want to know why that there's not revival in our community? You want to know why there are people who do not know Jesus Christ in our community? Largely because there's a lot of us who have never taken ownership to realize that it's our personal responsibility. Make it personal. It's yours. It's your job. As well as my job. How many lives are being changed because of the job that we're doing? Make disciples of all nations. And grab this. See, most people don't realize that word nations, the Greek word's ethnos, and it's talking about everybody everywhere. Every breed of man, red, yellow, black, and white, orange, purple, and green, if there are such people. That there is no discrimination. That everyone, every breathing soul needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And it's our job to tell them. And every day you are surrounded by people. Every day that you live. Think about it. Who's your target? Who's your target? I like to shoot. Used to back when I was deer hunting. Hadn't been in years. Not nearly as mad at the deer as I used to be. But before deer season, the day or two before deer season, I'd get my deer rifle out. And I'd draw a target about yay big on a piece of paper. And I'd back up away from it 100 yards. And I'd lay that rifle on the hood of my truck or a little stand that would hold that rifle. And I'd get it just as perfectly still so that I could zero in on that bullseye. And I'd sit there. And I'd breathe real softly and come to that point where I knew I was fixing to squeeze that trigger. And I'd fire off around, hopefully, and hit the bullseye. You see, the point is, I wanted to get that rifle where it hit that bullseye every time because I didn't want to miss the deer. I'd zero it in. I'd set it on my target. And then the next day when I'd see that deer, miss him, I couldn't blame my gun for it. And I did that several times. Point being this, if you don't have a target, you're not going to hit anything. Okay? If you don't have a target, you're not going to hit anything. Well, Brother Doug, everybody I know is saved. Are they? Everybody you know going to church? Everybody you know faithfully attending Sunday school? Everybody you know participating in prayer meetings and Bible studies? Everybody you know growing in the Lord? Well, let me offer you this. How many of you go to Walmart? What a silly question. Do you check out when you go to Walmart? Please tell me you do. Please tell me you go, you know, we pay for what we get. When you go through that line, you know, something that'll just knock that cashier over is if you just offer to them, you have a blessed day. Because see, they're used to people coming through talking about how sorry the service is and how bad life is and how irritated they are, and they're going on and on. And then somebody comes through and says, thank you very much. Have a blessed day. And oh, by the way, where do you go to church? Brother Doug, that's a little forward. It's time we were forward. Okay? In the restaurants where we eat. You see, we've got to wake up. What we're talking about is a way of life. Every day that you rise, that you wake up looking for an opportunity to say, follow me. Everybody needs their, you know, Paul had Timothy, right? Jesus had the 12. It's all about people taking personal responsibility and ownership in other people and investing their lives in the lives of other people and caring enough to say, I want you to know the Savior that I know. I think the problem is that we don't open our eyes. Parents, where's your target? If you got children, if you have children, I know where the target is. Has to be those kids. Do you realize, parents, that the most important thing for those children is not their education. It is not their playing baseball or football or basketball or whatever other kind of ball. That the most important thing that those children need is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is your responsibility, mom and dad, to make sure that they get it. Okay? Zero in on a target. If you have children, what a wonderful target. If you have grandchildren, it's your job, grandparents, that they see God living within you. That you tell them how awesome your God is. It's your job. Husbands, it's your job to be the influence on your wife's life. So that they are encouraged to a closer walk with Jesus. Do you know that? You see, we've got to ask ourselves, how are other people, being drawn to the Lord because of my life and my influence? Wives, same holds true. Your husband should be a better child of God because he's married to you and the influence that you have. We don't stop to consider the influence that we have on the lives of others. You want to know how to do it? I'm not much of a 12-stepper. Okay? Step one, step two, step three. Okay? But I do know you got to live looking for the opportunity. And I do know that you look at how Jesus did it. Okay? Jesus, on the seashores of Galilee, you can read Mark chapter 4, verse 18. He sees Peter and Andrew. And you know what he said? Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. How many invitations have we issued? Hey, follow me. Follow me to Victory Baptist Church. Follow me to Sunday school. You see, it's personal. That's what Jesus did. He made it personal. And I truly believe with all my heart that Victory Baptist Church is on the edge of an explosion of a revival like we have never seen. But it's going to have to be personal. We're going to have to assume ownership for the Great Commission. And we're going to have to take personal responsibility and invest our lives in the lives of other people. We're going to have to care that these people over here are growing in the Lord, even though we sit over here. We're going to have to care that the people at work have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, even though it's difficult. You see, that's when the difficulty starts. It's when we take personal ownership in the lives of other people. And we say, follow me. And we get concerned about their relationship with Christ and them growing in Christ. Can you imagine what Jesus went through? Every time he turned around, Peter's messing up and opening his big mouth. You know, Jesus had to say, man, when's this boy ever going to learn? I want to tell you, making disciples is not easy work. You invite them to church and you say, I don't know how many people I've invited to church. And oh, yes, we'll see you Sunday. I say, I'll meet you right out here in the front entrance and I'll take you to Sunday school so that you won't be alone and you'll know exactly where to go. And on Sunday morning, I'm sitting there saying, where are they? They never show up. And I think, boy, I wasted my time. I could have been back there studying, or I could have been visiting with somebody. But you know what? That's not my concern. Okay? It's my job to plant the seed. It's my job to take a personal ownership and care enough for others. And when they fail, guess what? Next time I see them, I'm going to invite them back next Sunday and tell them I'm going to be waiting there again. We've got to care. We've got to care enough for people to get personal. Brother Doug, it makes me nervous. You know why it makes you nervous? It's because you don't do it enough. Okay? I mean, let's face it. First time I preached, I was scared to death. I have no idea what I said. I got up there for 10 minutes and got down and thought, whew, I'm glad that's over. But you know, the more the Lord opened the door of opportunity for me to preach, the less nervous I became. And I still, to this day, I get a little nervous. But it's nothing like it was the first time. And I think there probably should be a little nervousness because of the enormous responsibility that goes along with sharing the Word of God. But listen, that's common practice is much less nerve-wracking than that which is done once every 3 or 4 years. If your life is only inviting people or sharing Jesus once in a blue moon, it will make you nervous. Oh, but you look at men like the Apostle Paul. Every day he was telling about Jesus. Can you imagine when Paul was in Roman prison? He was chained to a Roman soldier, one on each side. I can just see the Roman soldiers, you know, every day when they go in and they tell him, you've got guard on the Apostle Paul today. And they're thinking, oh, not that again. He preached the whole time, you know. Every day that men like Paul and the apostles in the New Testament lived, it was an opportunity to point people toward Jesus. And I want to tell you something. Times have not changed. Every day that you live is an opportunity for you to point someone toward Jesus. Go. Live. Live. Be willing to make a personal investment in the lives of others. Take ownership. Take responsibility for what God has commanded us. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know what that means, right? You know what it is to baptize? It's when we get in the baptistry, and we're scheduled next Sunday for a young lady that's going to be baptized. You know what that represents, right? That's your identification with Christ. That's your declaration to the world. Hey, I belong to Jesus, because it represents His death, burial, being laid down in the water, and His resurrection. You know, when you lift it up. But I want to tell you, it symbolizes more than that. It symbolizes your dying, the death of the old man, and your rising to walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ. And what this, and before I go on, let me offer this. If you've never been baptized, okay, baptism is important. Okay? It's your first public declaration who you belong to. Okay? It's the first time you tell the world, hey, I'm a child of Jesus Christ, bought by the blood of the Lamb. If you've never been baptized, you need to think of taking that stand today. Okay? And we're going to have an invitation in just a moment. I want to tell you, it is important, because people need to know whose side you're on. Okay? This is that's your opportunity to influence the lives of others by your public testimony of baptism. All right? So if you've never followed the Lord in baptism, you say, well, I'm all right because I'm saved. It's not about being all right. It's about serving the Lord. Okay? You come for baptism this morning. We'll not baptize you today. We'll not march you right up there. I understand you got to get ready for that. But you come and we'll get church permission. We'll get that schedule, because you need to do that. You need to take your stand. But when it says baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that word baptize means to immerse. Okay? Immerse them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So it even, you know, it paints a picture of going beyond just the water. It paints a picture of a lifestyle of being immersed in Christ. I want you to think about that. It is the job of every child of God to immerse others in Jesus Christ. Now, it goes back to the fact, you know, we can't do what we're not doing ourselves, so we have to be immersed in Jesus. However, taking personal ownership, a great failure that we have today is I've seen people make commitments to Christ and 6 weeks later they fall through the cracks. Why? Because we get them baptized, we get them saved, and we get them baptized, and we set them down and say, okay, now it's good, it's great. No. We have to wrap our arms around them when we do win them. And do everything that we can do to make sure they are immersed in Jesus Christ. Okay? Inviting them to our Sunday school class. If you want to make a disciple, listen, that... That doesn't mean that they showed up for church one Sunday. Yay! I invited somebody and they came to church. What about next Sunday? What about making contact with them through the week? Saying, hey man, thank you for coming. Come and be my guest again. Taking that responsibility and doing everything you can do to surround them in our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen. Are you sold on Jesus? Are you sold on Jesus? Is Jesus really great? Is it wonderful knowing that you're going to go to heaven when this life is through? Is it wonderful knowing that you have a place prepared eternal in the heavens by the hand of God that'll never fade away? I read about those streets of gold in Revelation. I think, wow, I can't wait to touch those. How about you? Is it wonderful knowing that no matter whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley, knowing that Jesus Christ is with you? Is it wonderful knowing that He's working all things together for good to those that love the Lord? Listen, if we really think it's so great, if we really think it's great, we're going to share Him. We're going to make disciples. Because we want everybody else to know how great Jesus is. You know what? If something good happens to us, what do? Man, we tell it. Don't we? Man, you'll never believe what happened to me. I won $1 million. Would you tell it if you won $1 million? I'd dance and tell everybody all the way to the bank. It'd be a sight because I got no rhythm. It'd be really sad to see me dance. But I'd want them to know. I'd want them to know. Listen. God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever calls upon Him would be saved. Okay. That's good news. Have you shared it? God wants to live in the heart of every person. Okay? I think salvation's for everyone. Okay? I'm not one of those Jesus went down the line at the beginning of time and said, you'll be saved and you won't. That's not true. Okay? Jesus Christ died for your sin. You see, you have to realize that you're on your way to hell without Jesus. And I'm, hell, do you believe in heaven? If you believe in heaven, you got to believe in hell. Okay? And I choose heaven. Okay? And I want you to have the same heaven that I have and every child of God has. Are you a child of God? If not, today's the day. The Bible says, you're a prayer away. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you come? Will you call on Jesus? And maybe you're here today. And you know, and I tell you, as I was thinking, I did a lot of meditating on this message this week. And just, I was thinking, boy, sometimes I really forget why I'm here. I'm here to bring others to Christ. I'm here to make disciples. And I'll tell you something, you are too. Every one of us. How are we? How are we doing? Say, one of these days you're going to come upon that last day that you draw a breath. When people gather together for that memorial service to remember the kind of guy you were, how many people's lives will be there that you had a hand in changing and drawing to Christ? If it has no eternal consequences, folks, all these things that we chase in life really does not matter. Okay? If it won't matter after this life is over, it really doesn't matter right now. Okay? Maybe you're here today and you're concerned about some folks that you know, and you know they're lost. The altar's open for you. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Maybe you just need to be saved. Whatever your need is, would you come as we have this invitation? Heavenly Father, thank You Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the great commission that, Lord, we're commanded every day as we live, where we find ourselves, to make disciples. And it's a personal responsibility that you've given to each of us. Help us to make disciples, Lord. To care enough to get personal with people and make a personal investment in the lives of others. Help us, Lord. And empower us to make a difference in this life. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. Now I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just freely move among us. And that whatever spiritual need is present, I pray that you'll take care of it and that the hearts present will respond. In Jesus' name, amen.